And here we are once again, coming to you live from the top secret broadcasting bunker here on Jekyll Island. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online, and I am live today with you. I could use a little bit more sleep. It's one of those nights last night that I just couldn't go to sleep. And I've been dealing with a lot of pain in my bones, my joints, things like that, arthritis and so on, lower back pain. I've had lower back pain in the area of like your hips and where my belt is and everything since I was a teenager. And so I'm laying there last night trying to go to sleep, can't do it. I had to go get the heating pad, turn it on, laid there for a while, and I thought, you know, just might as well read the Bible. I'm going to go ahead and start out with this today. I was going to read these pieces of paper that I have here, but I think I'm going to mind the Lord here and just kind of read some things that God helped me with last night, and some notes that I had remembered taking years and years and years ago. I had to go back and do a little research for everybody. As you know, I love the King James Bible. I love it. I live by it. It lives in me. I will die before I give up this Bible. No question about it. I will absolutely not want to live without the Word of God. I can't. It's like when all those people started to walk away from Jesus. You remember that back in John 6:6:6? I just think that's on purpose. John 6:6:6. Let me read that. You ought to just make a note of this. John 6, verse 60. No, it's not John 66. There isn't one. John 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I just think that belongs in that place. I really do. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And this is something that people just don't understand. They don't get it. And you try to talk to them, you try to convince them. Some of you, and one in particular, you'll know that I'm talking about you. You have expressed to me the frustration, the name calling, the persecution that comes from people when you announce to them, hey, I use the King James. I believe it. I think it's right. I think everything that it says is right. You've had to endure all of that. You've had to go through that. You've had people shut you down. You've been asked to leave a church because of that Bible. Because you dared, went to a pastor and said, Pastor, how come we don't use the King James anymore in this church? And all of a sudden, now you're on a list, a mental list or whatever. You're a troublemaker. You're a backbiter. You're causing strife and division, and we're not supposed to do that. And on and on and on. And you're ridiculed. You're made fun of. They call you names. You know how I know all this? Number one, because many of you have told me. But the other way, the other reason why I know this so well, that they call you names and they talk about you and they feel that you're ignorant and unlearned and don't know any better, is because that's what I used to say about you back, going on about 18, 19, 20 years ago. That's what I used to say about you. I hated you. I despised you. You were standing in the way of progress, and you were unlearned. You were ignorant because you didn't know what I knew. What I know is that there is mistakes in all the Bibles. That's what I knew. And so I hated all you King James people. And I just see myself as like Paul on the road to Damascus. God struck me down and said, it's going to be kind of hard to kick against that, isn't it, Mike? And God began to deal with me, and God began to help me. And God began to show me why the Bible is right in everything that it says. And if I accomplish anything as a benefit to society, it's not that I can read symbols. It's not that I know what Fat Albert Pike had on his mind. It's not that I know what goes on at a Bilderberg meeting. If I can be of any assistance to humanity, it is that I can help people understand that God's Word is right. It is right in everything that it says. There is a perfect Word of God here on this earth, and I've got it right here in my hand. Literally, I've got it in my hand. My Lord has the words of eternal life. And you've tried to talk to people, and they don't get it. They've read, let me tell you what they've done. They've read websites. They've watched YouTube videos. They heard little snippets from a pastor or somebody who gave them little things and little arguments in order to win this idea that you King James people are stupid. That's what they've been doing. And so I'm going to kind of start out today just kind of how God was dealing with me last night. It was pretty good. And I'm going to try to get to these pieces of paper. There's a lot of stuff going on right now with Syria. I think it's a mess. I think it's going to get worse. And I absolutely feel like the thing in Syria is on purpose and not necessarily by the Syrians. I think it's for a reason. I think it serves a function and a purpose. And I'm going to try to get into the Word of God with that today. But anyway, I was just laying there last night, and I'm going, you know, I'm going to read Scripture. And I would normally go to Psalms or maybe go to the New Testament somewhere. And I thought, you know, I hadn't read through Proverbs in a while. A few years ago, God led me on a study through Proverbs, and I started seeing some things that God helped me with at that particular time. But I was reading through Proverbs, and all these ideas are coming back to my mind. And here's what God was telling me last night. Yes, I heard from God last night. God spoke to me last night in the pages of the Bible. In Proverbs chapter 3, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. And I don't mind telling everybody. I'm not going to tell everybody what it is, but I have a little bit of unsettled, sort of like an unsettled situation, and I am looking for peace in that situation. And so that's just what I've been praying about the last few days. And then verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Mercy and truth. You cannot. This is salvation now. You cannot have mercy. Everybody wants God's mercy, but they won't recognize His truth. They won't recognize the Bible as being true. They won't recognize the written Word of God on paper as being truth. In fact, that's what Jesus said. Thy Word is truth. They won't recognize it. They're all about the mercy of God. Oh, just believe in Jesus and He'll forgive all your sins. But they disregard the pages of the Scriptures. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. And I want to encourage everybody. Instead of you, now this may not be for everybody, but some of you never passed up an argument. Never have. You scroll through Facebook just looking for a chance to lace up the gloves. And I want to, if that's you and that's your nature and you think God's called you into that, then do it smartly. And that is, while everybody else has been reading books on why the King James is wrong and why the King James only people are knuckleheads. And while everybody else has been watching YouTube videos and reading pseudo-history, got a letter from a guy today thanking me for establishing, here we go, the New King James Bible as the Word of God. New King James Bible. And he said, because I'm telling you, Hoggard, that King James Bible is wrong. And here's why. Don't you know that King James was a this and King James was a that? That is pseudo-history. And it has no bearing or relevance whatsoever in whether or not what God wrote on paper is right. Has no bearing in it whatsoever. So while they're out there reading websites and reading other people's books and watching YouTube videos, and they're making up arguments in their mind. I used to do this. While they're out there doing that, you're reading your Bible. And let me just kind of cut to the chase here on this part of it. The biggest mistake anybody can do in trying to defend an inerrant Word of God for us today, right now, not just in the original manuscripts, but in a book right now, the worst thing that you can do is try to play along with their arguments or fall into their trap, because they are going to lead you into a trap. They're going to come up with phrases like, oh, do you believe in double inspiration? Where did that come from? I don't even know what that is. What is double? Who decided? What? Where did that come from? Whose brain did that shoot out of? Are you saying that nobody before 1611 ever got the Word of God? Nobody before 1611 ever got saved? Are you saying that Paul didn't have the Word of God? They're going to throw all this stuff on you. They're going to come up with arguments like, okay, which King James do you believe in? Because it's been retranslated I don't know how many times. Which one do you believe in? Because all of them have mistakes in it. Do you know the text is Receptus? You know, that was written by a Roman Catholic. Do you know this and do you know that? And they're trying to bring you outside of where your defenses are so they can crush you and clobber you. And they will. They will absolutely clobber you because they sit around reading websites and watching YouTube videos and reading books and concocting in their mind how they can destroy you and destroy your arguments against the Bible. And I'll be honest with you, I don't understand the mind. Well, yeah, I do. I do. I do understand because that's what I used to do. I used to try to think of ways that I could, oh, I got him now. One of my best ones was, listen, I had a friend of mine that was trying to convince me of it. And I said, listen. You know what your problem is with your King James only stuff? Your problem is that we don't have any original manuscripts. In order for you or I to take our Bibles and know whether or not they were 100% right or not, we would have to go and compare them with the original manuscripts, and we don't have any. So I don't want to hear about how you think you're right on the King James. That's what I came up with. And I'm telling you, while they're over there wasting their time reading one another's stuff, reading websites, doing this, trying to lull you into a trap, you're over here in a quiet corner reading Scripture. And let me tell you what God's doing with you. In verse 4, Proverbs chapter 3, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Did you hear that? So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't sit and try to dream up how you can answer their question. Don't sit and try to, well, you know, boy, if they ask me this, I'm going to do some research and think, you know, maybe I can prove them wrong and whatever. Don't waste your time. Don't lean to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Remember what Jesus told his disciples. He said, when they come get you and put you in the synagogues, ask you questions, don't pull it up on Google how you're going to answer them. Read the scriptures. The Holy Spirit will give you words to speak. So he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. You know what? Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. But doesn't bone marrow have something to do with the production of white blood cells? White blood cells are what fights off infections in the body. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And I don't mind telling you, at 12 o'clock last night, God reminded me of a tithe that I have to pay. God reminded me of that. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits, not what was left over, the first fruits of all thine increase. If you increased and you profited and God blessed you, honor the Lord with that. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. And I said, God, thank you. Thank you for dealing with me. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is every one that retaineth her. So then at midnight, I'm thanking God for my wife. I mean, it equates wisdom here with a woman. A woman. And you'll find out later on that, I think it's in Proverbs 8. Where he refers to wisdom as his sister. His sister. Think of Sarah. When you see that, think of Sarah, the wife of Abraham, but also the sister of Abraham. Think of the church. Think of the church being the bride and so on, and how God wants to give a spirit of wisdom in the church, in the body. This world is benefited. Now, I want you to hear this one. The world should be benefited by the wisdom of the church, not the church trying to gain the wisdom of the world. And I think that in you, and here's all your friends, here's all your coworkers, here's all your family members, here's all your church. Former church brethren, but you had to leave because you believed the Bible. Think about all these people who don't have the light turned on the inspired Word of God. Where are they going to get their knowledge from? They're going to get it from you. They're going to need to get it from you. And if you fall into the trap that they set for you, and they do, I did. I laid traps for people. If you fall into the trap that they lay for you, to be honest with you, you might end up falling for what they say. And so I am encouraging you, read this book, study this book, think about the words that are in this book, ask God to show you these things, and fill your mind and your heart with the wisdom that comes from God. I've got something neat to show you here in a minute. But anyway, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. Now I want you to think about this verse here. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, and by understanding hath he established the heavens, and by his knowledge the depths are broken up. I'm going to show you something about the book of Proverbs that will make you happy. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. You ever been afraid of that? And you ever been afraid of, man, I hope I don't fall away. Man, I hope I don't just blow it. Get wisdom. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. And I was lying down reading it, and I'm going, okay, Lord, I won't be. Thank you for that. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. And it was. The only bitter thing to my sleep after I read that last night was my stupid alarm clock going off this morning. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. It's going to come. Don't be afraid. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. There's a situation where I gave to somebody, and I questioned whether I should have done that or not. And then I read this, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. The Bible says, give to him that asketh. So I did. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. Are you getting that? Because the knowledge and the understanding and the wisdom that comes from seeing this Bible as absolutely perfect in every word that it has on its pages, that's like the mystery that Paul always talked about. And it's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to those who are disobedient and believe not. But to you, you've had the mystery revealed to you. You understand. You get it. This Bible's right. I don't stumble over the... I'm not stumbling over the King James looking for the Word of God. I found it. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. The wise. I want you to get a piece of paper or just pull up a little word pad or something like that on your computer. And I want you to write the word wise down. W-I-S-E. I want you to write the word no down and put an asterisk after the W. When you do, like if you do a word search, like in the Pure Bible Search software, or I'm using my old standby, QuickVerse 3.0. When you do a word search and you want to know all the forms of a particular word, then you type in like K-N-O-W and then you put an asterisk. And that would be know, knowing, knoweth, knowledge, all the words with the word kno in it. Write down the word understand with an asterisk, like understandeth and understanding. And here's why I'm having you do all this. I had to go back to my old standby. Donna is working on the 2.0 version of the King James Pure Bible Search software. And there's a feature that is very, very helpful in studying the scriptures and looking for word patterns and things like that in the Bible. That is, I thought it would be in the 1.whatever version, and she said it's not. It will be in 2.0. And that is to limit your search to, like, one particular book of the Bible. And let me give you some stats. Let me give you, in fact, here's what I'm going to do. Because people call me names, and they say I'm an idiot, and they say I'm a Bible worshiper and an idolater, and I'm way out on the extreme, and I take this too far. Let me just give you facts. Okay? I will give you scientific facts. Facts that cannot be argued. Facts that are concrete. Facts that are they're beyond reproach. If you were to go anywhere to any other kind of search engine or just do it by hand, you're going to find this exact number. All the forms of the word know, K-N-O-W, such as know, knoweth, knowing, knowledge. In the book of Proverbs, all the forms of the word know, 66 times in the book of Proverbs. Write that down. The word wise, remember what he said? He talked about verse 35, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. The word wise, that exact word, in the book of Proverbs, 66 times in the book of Proverbs, the word wise. Write that down. All the forms of the word understand. Understand, understanding, understandeth. In the book of Proverbs, 66 times. What does that tell you? You can say, look, you magician, you're in the Kabbalah. You're doing all these numerology things with God's word. That's witchcraft. That's blah, 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 blah. Actually, no, it's not. Because God said in two places in the Bible to count to get wisdom. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. This have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find the account. Well, I got you right there, Pastor Hoggard, because my translation doesn't say that. Well, that says something, doesn't it? And then Revelation chapter 13, verse 18. Here is what? Wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number. So I count things. I believe according to Scripture that the Word of God is in order. That it is perfect. And it has patterns in it, recognizable patterns, known patterns. You can look at a number, you know, just giving you this number, 66. What is the first thing pops into your mind? Well, wow, there's 66 books in the Bible. That's it. You get it. There are 66 books in the Word of God. However, there are people who are trying to make you believe that the Word of God might be, it could be in the 66 books of the Bible. But I believe God's Word is in many places. It's free. It's out there. Oh, look, a bird. That's the Word of God. Or as one guy put it, the Word of God is in my heart. What does that mean? Let me tell you what's in the heart of man, guys. You know what's in the heart of man? It's wicked. It's desperately wicked, and it's deceitful, and it has no good thing in it. That's the heart of man right there. So what are these patterns? When you read the whole of the book of Proverbs, or any other place in the Bible that you can pick where you find knowledge or knowing or the word wise or understanding or wisdom, what do you find? You find the Word of God being symbolized there. You find that wisdom comes from the Word of God. You find that knowledge comes from the Word of God. You find that understanding comes from the Word of God. And that is the sole place that it comes from. So while people tell you, I don't believe in an inspired Bible, I don't believe in a preserved Bible, I don't believe in a perfect translation, while they tell you that, what they're doing is that they're revealing their heart. And what they're saying to you is, I'm not very wise. I have no understanding. I have no knowledge whatsoever. I have chosen the world's ideas and concepts over the concepts of God. That's what I have done. I had mentioned this before. You might want to write this down too. In the whole of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the word comfort, 66 times in the King James Bible. One of the places that I see, where is it here? One of the places that I pulled that up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Where is our comfort? So that we, through patience and comfort of what? Scriptures, might have hope. And so, you want comfort? You want knowledge? You want understanding? You want wisdom? Quit trying to find it on YouTube. Quit trying to get it from websites. Don't. And I'm not knocking people that, I mean, I make YouTube videos and put stuff on websites. That's what I do. So I'm not knocking ministries that are out there that are trying to defend the King James Bible. I'm not knocking that at all. But I will say that some, not all, some are seriously lacking, because they attempt to win the argument by trying to prove the other people wrong, and the only thing that they ever said was, King James was homosexual, he was a Mason, Francis Bacon translated the King James Bible, and it's all this and that and the other. They're coming up with all this other stuff, or we have better manuscripts, and so a guy spends his whole life trying to prove that the other manuscripts are junk, and that the text is, and I don't have a problem with that one either. But the thing, if you just want the easy version, just read the scriptures, and here's what you're going to be able to do. You're going to be able to do something that those who are of the opposite side on this issue cannot do. They can't do it. And that is, quote scripture. So they'll tell you, well, I only believe in the Bible in the original manuscripts. I believe that was the inspired word of God. You say, you know what? I believe that too. That's actually in the scriptures. Peter said, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Paul said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You read the first chapter of Jeremiah, you'll see that God took his words and put them in Jeremiah's mouth. He gave a scroll. God actually gave a scroll of a book to Ezekiel. And it had writing on both sides, and it was rolled up, and he had Ezekiel eat it. And then he said, Ezekiel, now go tell everybody the words that I just gave you. Isaiah, the same thing. Isaiah had his lips purged with a hot coal, and God took his words and put them in Isaiah's mouth, and Isaiah spoke the word of God. So yeah, absolutely. I believe in the original manuscripts, that they were the inspired word of God. And then they'll say, well, you King James people this and you King James people that. Just kind of walk away from the King James for a minute and just think about this. Ask the question. And, you know, you're talking to somebody. Well, let me ask you, okay? You say you believe the original manuscripts were inspired and preserved. Yeah, and inspired. Yeah, okay. Do you believe those manuscripts were preserved? Do you believe that God found a way of keeping every word that he said intact? And I would get specific like that. Do you believe that God found a way to keep every single word that those guys wrote 3,000, 2,000, 4,000 years ago? Do you believe that those words are still around today? I'd be interested to hear some people's answer. They might say, well, you know, scholars have, you know... No. You don't understand what I'm asking you. Because here in Psalm chapter 12, the Bible says the words of the Lord are... You know, that's a present tense word, by the way. Are, like right now. Are pure, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Did you know that Jesus told us, even though I don't know a lot of Hebrew, Jesus apparently told us that not even one yod would pass away from the law until all be fulfilled. Not one letter, not anything, not one jot or one tittle would ever pass away from the Bible until everything was fulfilled. So you got a problem here. Either you believe all the Bible has been fulfilled and it has passed away, some jots and tittles of the Bible have passed away, or what you believe is contradictory to what was said in the Scriptures. So you just say, look, you can say what you want to about Mike. You can call me names. You can say I'm standing in the way of progress. You can say I'm an idiot. I'm a lunatic. The lunatic fringe. You can say the King James only crowd is a cult. You can say these words all you want to. But I believe Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. I believe Exodus 20, verse 1, and God spake all these words, saying, I believe that. I believe 1 Peter. I believe 1 Peter 2. The stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to them that believe not, even they that stumble over the word, being disobedient. I believe what God's book tells me to believe, and I don't get to disbelieve it and call myself a believer. I can't. My conscience won't allow me to read verses out of the Bible and then say, well, that doesn't really mean that. I don't really believe that. My conscience won't let me do that. And I have a fear of the Lord, because I'm told that salvation is by grace through belief. And I'd be afraid to admit to anybody, much less God, that I was holding a book in my hand that I didn't believe everything that it said. I don't know. I can't do that like you do. So I just, if it's on the paper here, I read it. And I believe it. Well, I don't believe a translation can be inspired. I don't believe that. You believe in double inspiration? You say, well, you know, I'll be honest with you. I don't know what double inspiration is. I've never read that in the Scripture. But let me tell you what I do believe. I believe in Isaiah 28, God prophesied with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. And I see the stammering lips as being Moses in the Old Testament. And then, of course, we know that when the New Testament came along, it wasn't written in Old Testament language. It was written in another tongue. It was actually written in Greek. And so here they are speaking a new language, just like God said they were going to. But then in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul said, with men of other tongues and other languages will I speak to this people. So according to that, God speaks many languages. In fact, I would have to say that God speaks all of them. I mean, and I have evidence on the day of Pentecost, they were speaking all these languages that were not Hebrew. and they were the inspired word of God. And so your question to me that you say you don't believe that a translation of God's word can be the inspired word of God, and I have evidence right here in Scripture that says that's exactly what it is, because do not interpretations belong to God? I want to encourage you. Learn these things. Learn some scriptures. Write them down on cue cards if you have to. Post them on your Facebook wall. I guarantee you, you're going to find people there that's going to go, ah! Who is that? We called him Viator. Viator is going to come out. Ah! I didn't read the Bible! Just study this book. Quote scripture to these guys. They can't handle it, and they don't have a defense against it. They don't have... If anybody ever came to me and said, Mike, I know you're really stuck on this King James, and I'm not trying to hurt you, but let me give you about three verses of scripture that I see in the King James that tells me that the Word of God did suffer diminishment, and that some of the words would be decayed, and that God really didn't intend to be inspired in all these translations. Let me show you about three verses show me in the Bible, because I believe the Bible. But see, here's the thing. You're not going to find a verse. You're not going to find a verse anywhere that says God's word ever diminished. You're not going to find a verse anywhere that says that God's word or the scriptures were ever corrupted. You're not going to find a place in the Bible anywhere where it says that because the original manuscripts are gone, we don't know what the Word of God is. Actually, you find the exact opposite, because the original manuscripts were written on either vellum, which was animal skin, or papyrus, which was grass. And so the scriptures say all flesh is grass. Flesh is the vellum. Grass, the papyrus. And the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the words of our God endure forever. And so while you tell me that the word of God sort of disappeared, some of it, after the original manuscripts, I'm looking right here in the scripture where it says that even though the grass withered and the flower fadeth away, God still preserved every word, and it never failed, ever, one time. There cannot be, according to what I see, according to the rules, there cannot be a mistake in the Bible. According to God's rule of a prophet, and Peter said this book was a sure word of prophecy. According to the rules of a prophet in Deuteronomy 18, if the prophet is wrong one time, we're not to listen to him. We're not to be afraid of him. I believe that God doesn't have the same standard that all the Bible seminaries and all the theologians and the pipe-smoking liberals have. I don't believe God has that same low standard. I think God has the highest, in fact, the most high of standards when it comes to His Word. Every word being the inspired Word of God. Every word. Don't fall for their trap. They'll try to lead you into a trap. They will try to get you with their arguments. Don't fall for it. If you need help with this, there is a reason why God gave Mike Hoggard a big mouth. When I was in fifth grade, he ended up being my favorite teacher in the whole wide world. His name was Mr. Brown. And Mr. Brown soon realized, first 2 weeks of school, that Mike Hoggard does not need to sit in the back of the room. Mike Hoggard needs to sit right by Mr. Brown's desk. And Mike Hoggard needs to get his very first school paddling. That's fifth grade. I got my very first whipping in school by Mr. Brown. And the reason being is that Mike Hoggard has a big mouth and he doesn't know how to keep it shut. And there's a reason why. God gave me a big mouth. So if you're having problems, you know, trying to convey to people, or you don't know all the verses or whatever, then get some of our videos. Get Which Bible, You Be the Judge. I tried to do the very, very best that I could to try to reach people, to explain to them from Scripture, this is what I believe, this is why I believe what I believe. It's not based upon manuscript evidence. It's not based upon someone's version of history. It's not based upon what most people are... And this is a good one. Come on, guys, don't you understand? Most Christianity does not believe that. You go, big deal. You know what they're trying to do with that? And they're trying to do what actually worked with me. That is what actually lulled me into the other side. It was the idea that if I didn't come down off my King James high horse when I was in Bible college, I wasn't going to have any friends and I wouldn't have any popularity. And it worked. So by the time I'm in my third year of Bible college, I'm student body chaplain, and everybody likes Mike Hoggard. But I decided to keep my mouth shut on the King James issue. And now everybody's my friend. And so that's what they're going to use with you. They're going to say, come on, we got us a big church here. You can join with us. You can be part of our Bible study. You can be part of our clique, our group. We'll let you in. But you can't bring in that King James stuff anymore. And sad to say, some of you fell for it. You walked away from the words to go join the people. And they use that against you. And they're gonna keep doing it. And say, you know what? If that's the way you're going to be, you can't come to our Bible study anymore. We don't want that here. We don't want that in our church. We don't want that. And so if you're out there trying to convince people, try to talk to them, you don't know the words to say, give me a call. Say, Gary, I need about 20 copies of that Which Bible, You Be the Judge. Because I got some people we need to get this to, and they're not listening to me. And so, I'm going to give them Scripture. And if they won't listen to Scripture, they're not going to listen to you. I promise you that. What did Abraham tell the rich man? The rich man wanted Lazarus to come back from the dead to warn his brothers about hell. And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen to someone, though he be come back from the dead. Boy, I tell you what, first time I read that with any understanding, I'm going, you know what? They didn't. Israel did not believe. They had Moses and the prophets, and Jesus rose from the dead. And they still didn't believe a word he said. Still to this day, they don't believe a word that he said. That's why God gave me a big mouth, people. I tweeted this, and I am going to deal with it, and then I'm going to go to some emails. Roseanne Barr says, in a recent interview, the MK Ultra rules in Hollyweird. For those of you that don't know, Roseanne Barr is a well-known actress, comedian, writer, television producer, and director. And she also refers to herself as, I'm a domestic goddess. She has won several awards, which include Emmy Awards, Golden Globe Awards, People's Choice Awards, and Nasal Intonation Award. I just made that one up myself. She has been in the industry for over 20 years and has gained much respect from many of her Hollyweird colleagues, who she is now speaking on behalf of. I just want to make it clear how long she has been inside the industry and the connection she has to others within it. Industry insiders are feeling the need to share inspirational words and food for thought to the millions of people that pay attention to them as of late. We saw this recently with Ashton Kutcher. Celebrities have a voice that can reach a large sum of people. By the way, did you see Miley Cyrus in front of the children? Parents, don't let your kids see that video. I have not watched the video. I've seen like three pictures of Miley Cyrus' performance. It was rated PG-14. So kids are watching Miley Cyrus performing adulterous acts on stage in front of a live audience with children. Whew. Celebrities have a voice that can reach a large sum of people that can be a threat to corporate interests and the controlling elite, as Roseanne states. Many celebrities bite their tongue and live in a culture of fear. Not long ago, Roseanne made some shocking statements alluding that Hollyweird and the entertainment industry is dominated by MK Ultra. MK Ultra was the name for a previously classified research program through the CIA Scientific Intelligence Relative Term Division. It was the CIA's program of research in behavioral modification and perception manipulation of human beings. It was previously known as Operation Paperclip. Roseanne is suggesting that Hollyweird is a tool used in the manipulation of human consciousness, used as a tool for behavior modification and perception control in human beings. Let's see. Does King James agree with Roseanne Barr, the domestic goddess? Let's see here. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. It's not good manners to perform adulterous acts at the dinner table in front of the children. It's not good manners to do that. So what does Miley Cyrus do? She is corrupting good manners with evil communications. That's what she's doing. If you remember, a couple years ago, Miley Cyrus came out with a song and a video. What was it? I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, the video, here she is. She's got black angel wings. Have you seen Baphomet? She's got black angel wings, so she is a fusion of a human and an angel. But she refers to herself in the song as a beast. And I can't be saved. That's what she says. Apparently she was right. Let's see here. Where does this go? Here is, the article goes on to say, Hollywood is the one that keeps all of this power structure. They perpetuate the culture of racism, I agree with that, sexism, classism, genderism, and keep it all in place. They continue to feed it, they make a lot of money doing it, they do it at the behest of their masters who run everything. I speak on behalf of Hollyweird. I go to parties, Oscar parties, and things like that, and big stars pull me aside, take my arm, and whisper, I just want to thank you for the things you say. And it blows my mind, but that's the culture. It's a culture of fear. That's Roseanne. So she's telling everybody publicly. This article is at collective-evolution.com. Or you can just type in Roseanne Barr, MK Ultra Rules in Hollywood. Don't say Hollyweird. Hollywood. And you'll find the article. Is she right? Absolutely. Does it take an insider to say that? Well, I'm glad that she's saying it, but it doesn't take an insider to say that. What it takes is the inspired word of God. That's what reveals to us that what she's saying is absolutely true. I will give you, let me show you this. Katy Perry has got a new album out now called Prism. I just did a video on that. Here is the feature track of the album that Katy Perry comes out with. Those of you who know the scripture, you get it. You go, oh, okay, I get that. I get that. Roar. Be sober. Be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Notice the lions looking opposite of one another. Notice the leopard stripes. I will be to them as a leopard. By the way, I will observe them, God said. The beast is likened to a leopard and a lion. Roar. Katy Perry, who says, I guess I sold myself to the devil. Her parents are in some... And everybody says, her parents were Christians. Nah. Her parents are co-preachers of this charismatic, weird ministry. And that's what they raised Katy up in. They raised her in the supernatural. That's what they raised her in. She's only living out as an extension of the same spirit that her mom and dad are under. Go look at their ministry. Go examine their ministry. Go look at what they teach and what they stand for. You'll see it. Let's see here. What else did I... Somebody... This was at a church Facebook website. There is this church in Missouri. I think it's Joplin, Missouri. Is hosting this music venue. It's the Solus Church. And they open up their facilities for these rock concerts. And so at this concert, here's the Facebook page for it. And the emblem here, the painting, if you've ever seen the Alien movies, you know that's Sigourney Weaver. And that's the alien that, you know, comes out of the belly. And notice the halos around both of them. It's sort of like Madonna and Child. That's the imagery that you're supposed to get out of that. That's a church. That's a church putting that on. A church that, I guarantee you, a church that says, you King James only people are a cult. We don't use the King James. We use all the Bibles and then all of our senses to perceive God. That's what they do. So, do you believe that MK Ultra rules in Hollywood? Absolutely. I'm going to get to some emails in a minute, but I've got a video that I've got to show you. There is, some of you sent me the article. This is from the dailymail.co.uk. And it is apparently an unidentified 13-foot-long sea monster with horns washes up on the beach in Spain and has marine biologists stumped. Spanish marine biologists mystified by the creature that was spotted dead in the shallows by a woman on the beach at Villaricos. Puzzled marine official Paco Taledano said, we've certainly never seen anything like this around here before. Decomposing creature was giving off such a stench that it had to be buried. It could be the backbone of a shark, suggests Britain marine biologist. There's actually a video of this sea monster coming to shore. When I saw this, I was absolutely stunned. You got to see this. I mean, because if you believe the Bible, you believe in Leviathan. You believe these creatures existed alongside of man. You've seen my, you know, Man Walk with Dinosaur video and things like that. And so just kind of think along those lines. But anyway, I'm going to show you the video of this sea creature. And this is not, you're not going to find this on the Daily Mail. This is video of the sea monster coming on shore.
Pigman, you are a rotten sea monster.
Pigman, you are a crow.
Cram, get out of here.
Absolutely stunning, absolutely stunning video. Never seen anything like it before in my life. I used to love that show. That was, I would get up 7 o'clock in the morning so I would not miss Sid and Marty Croft and everything they had to offer. You fell for it. I had you going, didn't I? Let me read some. I've got a bunch more stuff. There's something. Let me just see if I have it here. There's a video. I won't show you the video. My stomach turned when I saw this. A 12-year-old African-American youth with two or three younger African-American girls beating on this 2 or 3 year old white girl in the street with people sitting on their porch watching. The boy takes the video and posts it on his Facebook wall and says, "This is what happens when white people blanks off black people." Folks, if it's racism, the door swings both ways. It does. Let's see what's on everybody's mind today. Marcella says, "Hi, Pastor Mike. God bless you and your ministry. I just wanted to share a comment for us to pray for Syria and what's happening over there. I know the USA wants to strike over and other things, and I wonder if that's related with Isaiah 17 and Psalm 83. It's possible, but I'll tell you this. It makes me angry. Because here's what my suspicion is, and I don't have any proof for this whatsoever. My suspicion is that this benefits the Barack Hussein administration and their ties with the Muslim Brotherhood. Obama's been going around kissing up to these Muslims and the Muslim Brotherhood, supporting them. And all of a sudden now, Syria uses chemical weapons and then destroyed the evidence. So there's no evidence that Syria used chemical weapons. I'm not saying they did or didn't. But now we have an excuse. Now we have a reason to go in and aid the Muslim Brotherhood, win over the nation of Syria, so that the extremists of Islam will be completely surrounding Israel. Now, having said that, let me stop right here. In Obadiah, get your King James out. Obadiah. Let's see here. Where does Obadiah begin? in Obadiah. God, there's only one chapter of this thing, 21 verses. And what happened was God is prophesying against Edom, because in the day of the calamity of Israel, he didn't do anything. He says in verse 6, how are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. And they that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. You know why? Because he doesn't read the King James Bible. He has no understanding. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, and O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, he's referring to Jacob, they carried away Jacob. And foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. In other words, you knew they were surrounding Israel, and you let them in. You could have stopped them, and you didn't do it. Now, when I'm going to have a skewed idea of this. I'm not going to take the John Hagee version of the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel is God's people. Now, I do believe that those people in the land of Israel are of the tribes of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes. I'm not one of these conspiracy theorists that say, oh, they're not real Jews. Us white people are, man. I don't believe that. It's a bunch of hooey. But I believe this. I believe they're gathered in the land for a reason, and that is to fulfill Bible prophecy. People ask me, are you like one of these Zionists that, you know, all these things with Israel and the nation of Israel? Listen, I've seen enough in Israel to know, and I know enough about Judaism right now, I know all this stuff. Some evil, evil people. In fact, some of the most evil people in the world are the Jewish Kabbalists who hate the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I am for Israel, but let me just tell you that I think that Jerusalem being destroyed is going to have a benefit for the Jews and the remnant of Israel that God is going to save in the last days. You've heard me talk about Matthew 24, they showed him the buildings, plural, of the temple. And they said, you know, see, look at all these buildings, plural. And Jesus said, I tell you, not one stone would be left on another. So in AD 70, they destroyed the buildings of the temple, but left the Wailing Wall. And I think that wall is there as the remnant of an unfulfilled prophecy. And I believe that Jerusalem is going to be compassed about with armies. And I think that there are things like what we see here in Obadiah in Matthew 24 that are going to be fulfilled. You say, well, that's like they're going to take Israel captive and that's bad. Not so bad. Because I believe God is going to use these events to save Israel and to reveal his glory to them and in them. As long as Israel and the nation of Israel and the people of Israel are standing in their own strength and in their own might and their own power, they will never turn to their true Messiah, Jesus Christ. They will never do it. So I'm not saying, hey, bring it on, Obama. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that, number one, as a nation, if we stand back in the day of the calamity of Israel, watch out. By the way, the Apollo 11 moon landing is featured in the book of Obadiah. If you've seen some of my stuff, you know what I'm talking about. But I will also say that, and right now, it's a situation where if the Muslim Brotherhood takes over Syria, Jerusalem and Israel as a nation is in very serious trouble. And I believe that God is going to save Israel out of that time of trouble. I sort of have a weird idea when it comes to people, and I see that they're really struggling with something, and they're really really battling, and the devil's just hitting them. I almost want to smile because I know enough about the Lord. I know about how He works in my life and how He's worked in other people's lives and what He says in the Word. And it's like when things get really bad and the devil's just, I mean, just raking us over the coals. That's when God is doing His best work. It's like there's a baby fixing to be born here because the woman's in travail. That's how I know. By the way, Keith, I appreciate your continued prayers for Lindsay. She's about 3 weeks away from her due date. And Jethro, her unnamed, she won't tell anybody what they named the baby, but we know it's a boy. So we just said he's Jethro Bodine. Okay? But he's still standing up, standing tall, standing proud. And he's not supposed to. He's supposed to be heading out, and he's not doing it. So keep her in your prayers. Let's see. Bill! Pastor Mike, concerning today's broadcast, please read Colossians 1, 16 and 17, then Ezekiel 28, 15. In this verse, could you talk about the word perfect and the word still iniquity? Thank you. Okay, Colossians 1, 16. Bill, this ain't as you ain't trying to trip me up, are you, Bill? Okay, Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. There's four things there. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, four more things there. All things were created by Him and for Him. In verse 17, He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Okay. Got it. And then, what'd you say, Ezekiel 28:15? Ezekiel 28:15. Ezekiel 28:15. Ezekiel 28, a loaf of bread, a container of milk, and a stick of butter. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Okay. The word perfect. Talk about the word perfect and the words till iniquity. Yeah, perfect means without blemish, no harm, no foul, nothing wrong with it. And then iniquity was found in him. I don't know what you're, Bill. I don't know what you're getting at. Okay, you'll have to help me here. Right back. All right. Hillbilly, how you doing, Hillbilly? Dear Boss Hogg, we love you and your peace very much. Pray for you often and keep up the good work. And your can of King James open. I appreciate that. James, wanted to thank you for all you do. I do believe finding you online was a godsend. I have tons of questions. First, would the folks Cain met, do we know when God made those? Would the folks Cain met? Oh! Genesis chapter 4. Cain was afraid that all that would meet him would kill him. Do we know when God made those? Yeah. He made them in Adam. And then Adam, just kind of go with me here, James. If you got 900 years living with the same woman, that's a lot of kids. That's more than the Duggars. Okay? That's a lot of youngins popping out. And because they live so long, here you have Cain and all his lineage. Then you have Seth coming along, and you have all these people coming out of Seth. And the Bible says, sons and daughters. Adam begat sons and daughters. How many? Like a flock of them. And then all within 20 to 30 years, all of those flocks are flocking on their own. And then you got 20 to 30 years later, you got more little flocks running around. And they are, and within 400 or 500 years, there could be a few thousand people walking around. So, and James, I'm interested in your question. I'm wondering where it stems from, because I believe the Bible is very clear that the people that would have met Cain would have come from Adam, because we all came from Adam. All people came from Adam and Eve. Brian. Hi, Pastor Mike. When a Christian dies, do we go to be with the Lord right away, or do we sleep in the grave awaiting the rapture where the dead in Christ arises first? All right. Sleep is for the body. Now, and I'm kind of getting into this in the Fourth Kingdom teaching, and I haven't really discussed it yet. And may not, because it's big. Outside of the boundary of earth and the heavens right above the earth, outside of that boundary is another dimension. A dimension without time. It literally is. It's the fourth dimension. And that dimension exists without the boundary of time, of linear time. So think of it like this. The moment you die in this earth dwelling, your family is going to bury your rotting carcass in the ground. They're going to plant a seed. But the moment you die and you are no longer in this 3D physical plane, it's almost like you're in a time warp and so on. The soul does not sleep. And you would, from what I can see, you would almost like immediately from the moment you die, you would be joined with your new body, because outside of the boundary of earth, there's no time. And anyway, yeah. But no, I do not believe in soul sleep. That is an incorrect doctrine. The moment that the rich man died, in hell he lifted up his eyes. But that was not his earthly physical eyes. It was his hell eyes. It was his soul eyes. Immediately, he was in hell. Immediately. Now, his body was still in the grave, sleeping, but his soul was in hell. James, like, were they a strain of, let's see here. He's always asking another, he's continuing the question. Like, were they a strain of Adam genes? Yeah. Or were they just made? No. Could humanity have also come from the humanity or people in Nod? I'm referring, of course, to the people Cain joined when he was banished. The people that Cain joined? Let's see here. Let's open up the scriptures. Yeah. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. It doesn't say he joined anybody there. Just says he dwelt in the land of Nod. I always just thought after the first man was fashioned and had life breathed into him that God simply made more people. He is, after all, God, but I don't know for sure. And we're, no, because we're, as in Adam, all die. We are all in Adam because we are from. The reason why Eve was called Eve, because she is the mother of all living. I mean, that the scripture explains that. There were no other people that God created that did not come from Adam. If that would have been that way, they would have been free from the genetic distortion that you and I have, the genetic predisposition to sin. And so the Bible's clear. Adam, we are in Adam. We were in Adam's loins when he was created, and all of humanity came from Eve, his wife. And so that to me is the answer. All right. Dan from California, 1 Corinthians 15:2, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. What does believed in vain mean? Dan, go back and listen to what I preached last Wednesday night, and then go back before that, because I'm dealing with the idea and the scriptural idea. Read the parable of the seed and the sower. Read other places in the scripture. And I talk about these in that sermon last week. It's called the fallen and the fruitful is what the sermon's called. And I show you, I present to you clearly from scripture that there are people who start out believing who either because of a hardness of their heart, their hard head, and they say, you know what? I don't believe that. That's stupid. I don't believe the King James. I don't believe the whole thing's inspired. I don't believe that. Or they let thorns choke out the word. They stop believing. They don't believe it anymore. And they become unfruitful. So that's what that means, believed in vain. He said, by which also ye are saved, if your salvation has an if on it. And that if is, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. That's what that means. Now, I do believe in a solid biblical salvation. I believe that those sown on good ground, they never vanish away. They never pass away. But you and I both know, Dan, there are people sitting in churches all over this country that used to believe, and they don't believe anymore. Dave from Minnesota, is Psalm 73:20 referring to end time events? If so, the modern translations change image to other words. 73:20, as a dream when one awakest, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. What a day from Minnesota. What is it changing? You know, you got me. Wait a minute. Psalm 73:20. I can look that up in my old can of King James because I had the NIV there. Psalm 73:20. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. And the NIV says, as a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. That's stupid. Anyway. Yeah, absolutely. I believe it's end times. If you know of another translation where they mess it up, send it to me. Dan Bourne. Pastor Mike, when I heard you speak in the latest watching broadcast of the Fourth Kingdom and saying how we can't stop them when time comes, I just drew a parallel to Miley's song, We Won't Stop. That was it. The performance on the MTV Award last week I tried to avoid, but I did see some bears. There were 12, I think, that I could remember there. But the point is, if the video doesn't make sense, it probably doesn't make sense, but only to them. Okay. Who are the Amalekites that God called them eternal enemies and will always have to deal with them besides the fact that they may be giants? What did they do to God? God bless and keep you healthy. Amalekites, I think that they are a reference to, number one, the Jews. But I had this idea. When God talks about a nation, a nation shall come from afar. I think the Amalekites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites are a type. Remember, there's seven nations in the land of Canaan stronger than the Israelites. And I think those seven nations from the earth are a type of the angels, the fallen angels. There's a war in Canaan for possession of the land. There's a war in heaven for possession of heaven. And so Michael drives the spiritual realm, Amalekites and Canaanites, out. If that makes sense to you, just kind of run with that idea, all right? Lisa says, I gave my pastor a copy of One Book of One Authority by Doug Stauffer. I've met Doug. He's a nice guy. I like him, and I like the way he writes. I don't agree with him on everything he says, but I love the man. I appreciate his stand on the King James. Doug Stauffer, he read it and then gave me A Trial by Fire by Harold Rawlings and indicated that I wouldn't like what it said. Both are about Bible translations. I wonder, what does Trial by Fire say? I've never heard of that before. Jermaine says, amen. Right arm, Jermaine, right arm. Juanita, praise the Lord, Pastor Mike. Just want to share how the other night my husband and I watched one of your previous Watchmen videos titled Jesus Christ, DNA, and Holy Bible. Wow! How awesome is our God? Thank you and God bless. I appreciate that, Juanita. Tell your husband I said, right arm. Right arm. Micah says, tell the new King James guy to read my book. It's just an update, right? All right. Let's see here. Kay is going to pick my what? Oh, my brain. I'm sorry. Greetings, Pastor Mike. Really love the show. I've been watching for years. Just a few questions I thought you could answer on your live broadcast. What does the Bible say about organ donation, giving or accepting blood, and dealing with unruly people? Is that the same question or three different ones? Organ donation and giving and accepting blood, I do not see a biblical prohibition against such. I do not see a biblical prohibition against that. The Bible forbids us from drinking blood. But it does not forbid us from giving blood. I have given blood. I hope I never am in a situation where I have to have blood. But anyway, I do not see a biblical prohibition against it. Now, dealing with unruly people, one of the best ways to do it is to put distance between you and them. I don't know all the situation, but that's one of the best ways to do it. Let's see here. Robert, I'm a King James man. If you can only be saved by reading the King James, what about the people that lived before 1611? I have a good friend that does read the King James, that doesn't read the King James, but is saved. Now, let me clarify something. Robert, I don't think you've ever heard me say that you can only be saved by reading the King James. I don't think you've ever heard me say that. What I teach is what the Bible says, that our salvation is conditioned upon our acceptance of God's truth, His Word. That's what our salvation is conditioned on. It's the Word of truth, the gospel that Paul preached, whereby we're saved. Now, I don't know your friend. I can't say, oh yeah, he's saved. I can't say that. I don't know the man. I don't know anything about him. So I'm not going to get into this saying, well, he didn't read the King James. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to encourage you to find out whether this friend of yours believes everything that he's reading in the Word of God. Does he believe every word, every verse? Does he believe that? And so that's what I would tell you. Anyway, I got about 20 more emails. Won't have time to get to them all today. Here's what I'm going to have you do. Write them again on Thursday. This is TV's day. Tomorrow is Woden's day. Saturday is Saturn's day. But anyway, on Thursday, send me these valid questions and comments again, and we'll try to get to them by then. In between now and then. By the way, to the guy who said, man, I've got a million questions to ask you. I don't have time to answer a million questions. But I know a guy. He's got all the time in the universe. He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. So I'm not trying to get out of it. I'm just saying, if you can't get an answer from me, get one from my boss. All right? He's a good guy. I love God. I love His Word. I love you all, too. I appreciate you being here with me. And join us again this Thursday for another Pastor Mike Online live broadcast. Send in some good questions. We'll have some good comments. Even if you don't like me and disagree with me, send it anyway. We'll talk. All right? I see yous later.